to another edition of the Infinite Aaron Cast. It's me and Aaron again.
Yay!
Yay! How's it going?
It's alright. Yeah, as strong-willed as ever, you know, after our conversations last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling better?
Yeah, yeah. It's good.
You,
having fun?
You seem to have been playing a game this week, Aaron.
I've played a new game or two.
Kingdom Come Conquest.
Kingdom Come Deliverance.
You didn't hold off then.
No, I held off for another day, and then I went. Oh, actually, no. But the problem is now, all the YouTube streamers that I'm following are now far in advance of anything I've got to, so I need to put some hours in to try and catch up with what they've done, so that I'm on par with what they're doing, so I'm not effectively seeing the story through their playthrough.
Okay. So. What are your thoughts? Do the people have legitimate concerns here? Is this a thing?
Well, it's a game. It's a RPG game set in medieval Europe.
Is there a disproportionate lack of people of colour? Is that the correct term? I don't know what the term is.
Well, that's a phrase that's been used. Well, there's none, to be honest. I don't know how many people in Bohemia at this period had any other ethnic background than German, Czech, and the similar. We do know that there were travellers and there were people from other regions, because even back as far as the Viking age, the Vikings travelled widely, even down to Constantinople and places like that. But whether people from Africa travelled up, I would have thought they would, but I don't know. Maybe in Prague you should see some people, but at the moment I'm in some backwater village. It's probably about right. I don't know, but you don't have to be that historically accurate. Half the stuff in it isn't that historically accurate because people are clean. People
right.
are dying of disease in the streets.
Whereas they should be, I guess.
I guess so. Half the, all the refugees there are begging in the streets. They're not dying. They're just begging in the streets. They seem perfectly fine. They say they're hungry, but, they seem to have plenty of money. They buy goods off you and things with coin. So yeah, it's a bit weird. So the realism goes so far, but yeah, why go for coloured skin realism but not death and disease realism? I don't know.
Right, it's like a choice.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's
a obviously choice, they've chosen to be realistic in some places but not others.
Yes. So I don't know. Hopefully you get to Prague and you see some differences, but I wouldn't hold my breath given all the controversy around it. Or some controversy around it. I don't know. To be honest, the effort they've probably gone through to... Because half the women look very similar in the game.
Right.
Your background villagers, they don't have that many different... your key NPCs obviously all look different, but your general villagers, I've seen a few that look remarkably similar. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because it's a small, it's not a big studio.
No.
I've not heard from of what they've done before, so, you know, if you compare this to, say, Witcher 1, I don't know how many, you know, people of colour there was in Witcher 1.
No, and that's something that's been levelled at the Witcher series as well now.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people are saying, you know, people didn't complain about it.
Yeah, yeah. And at least this one is a historical thing rather than some fantasy setting. I think, to start with, Witcher, I think it was just lack of imagination. I think it was just a bunch of white guys designing a game, and they just put themselves in the game. They didn't expand it hugely. Obviously, they put the characters from the game from the books in, but the books didn't specify exactly what colour anyone was.
Right.
I think the dandelions described quite a bit, and Geralt, and there's a bit about Ciri and some of the other characters, but, you know, it's not. They don't describe in depth all the different characters. They're just sailors and they're just merchants.
Mm.
So basically, it's you know, lack of diversity in the development team leads to lack of diversity in the game.
Right.
And some of these communities, you know, if you've only got, you know, 20, 30 people working on the game in what is effectively a white middle class, maybe, you know, area.
Yep.
Then you're going to reflect white middle class people in the game a lot. It has to be a conscious effort to not. You have to think about it, you know. It's good, you know, most of your protagonists are going to be male. Because it's blokes writing about being a bloke in the games a lot. So you have to. What we need is more diversity in the development community to get more diversity in the games. That's what how I see it is. Obviously, there needs to be a conscious effort to try and balance that that issue. But yeah, I think if there was, I suspect if you look at the dev team on the game, they'll be just very similar guys from, I can't remember where it, are they based in Czech? Is it a Czech team?
It's either Czech or Polish.
Okay. So I suspect the village or the town that these guys come from, maybe not so much. I don't know where they're based. I assume they're based in a fairly large city in the region. To get this many, you know, technical people in, maybe they're all from a certain ethnic background themselves, and that's just what they've reflected in the game. I'm not sure it's, and they've just justified it based on historic records.
Mm.
'Cause they did have a historian as part of the development team.
Yeah, I think they consulted with people, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was somebody on sort of on consultancy for a period of design. I don't know whether they were there for the full development, because you wouldn't really need them past a certain amount, apart from minor consultancy.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. My period I know more about is earlier. And, you know, there have been known to be, you know, Saracens and the like coming over to Europe from the Holy Wars and the like. So chances are there would be some non-white guys around. Obviously, they've not put slaves into the game at all, as far as I can tell. so far. So,
which presumably would have been a thing.
Which would have probably been a thing, I believe, because it's been a thing throughout history. It's only fairly recent, you know, recent in European history that slavery was banned. So, you know, it's it would have been throughout the period, but they've obviously got rid of that. So I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to avoid a whole heap of political nightmare and make it look like a jolly medieval thing. You know, knights and jousts and things like that. People want to see the, you know, the pretty frocks and the armour and the knights. People don't want to see death and disease all over the place.
You want to live the fantasy, not the reality.
Yes, yes. So while they have done a lot of the, some of, you know, while the history is there, and they do describe a lot of the history, what you're living is not historically accurate to that extent. So they've got rid of a lot of that.
I was going to say, what's the combat like? Because that's one of the things that...
It's quite interesting.
It tried to differentiate itself on.
Yeah, because you've got all directional combat and blocks and parries and all sorts. I've not got far into it, so I don't know. There's certain moves you can make. So you can feint and things. So you basically move the mouse around. So where your mouse is determines where your sword is. So if you move your mouse to the top right, then your sword is top right. There's sort of five directions. You've got top right, top left, and direct, bottom right, bottom left, and directly up, I think, are the five directions. I bet you strike from any of those directions, and then you can stab. So you can thrust. So there you your five directions. But what you can do is you can put your mouse to the top right, quickly move it to the bottom left, and then swing. So obviously, if you're going against a good opponent, they will be able to detect that feint, but a less practiced opponent won't notice that, so their sword will still be up top at the top. So you'll be top right moving to bottom left, they'll be at top left because obviously they're mirrored on you, and then you can just hack at them. And it's quite an interesting combat system. And quite nice, and you've got stamina and stuff, so you can't keep just spamming the attack button because your stamina goes down, which means you can't then parry and you can't dodge and you can't move around much. It's quite fun, but there are cheats, because saving's a bit weird as well. You can only save certain amount of times, and every time you use a save, it's alcohol, so you get a bit more drunk every time you save. So if you save too often, you'll get really drunk in a short period of time. It does auto save, but I've put a cheat in for that. I can't wait to save. I need to just save whenever I need to stop playing, effectively. Right. If I need to stop playing, I want to save there and then and come back to it later. I don't want to have to wait to save. You know, I don't want Final Fantasy where you have to wait, you know, you spend hours trekking through the wilderness to find a save point just so you can save and don't do something else.
Which Final Fantasy is that?
I don't know. 8 was the one I was playing. And there's only certain places you can save on that.
Yeah, I don't like that whole enforced save thing. I feel like you should be able to save, as you say.
Yeah.
Or at least a quick save, and only allow one quick save in the game.
Yeah, just so you can say, right, I need to go. My time's limited. I need to go now. That's it. And I don't want to lose, you know, half an hour's worth of progress, because maybe I've only got half an hour to play at a time. Gone are the days where I've got hours and hours to spend playing these games.
Are they?
Yes.
I feel like you'd say...
Well, yeah. At some time... No, it varies. Sometimes I've got an hour to play. Maybe more. Maybe I've got 2 or 3 hours to play. Maybe I've got half an hour to play. It varies a lot. Because it all depends what happens. You know, if a kid starts crying or something, you know, you just need to...
I had this yesterday. I was playing some Splatoon 2 in bed and I just kept getting cried at.
Yeah. So there's times when you can just put aside some time, but even then, you know, things change and you might have to just down tools and quickly quit. If you have to quit and you lose your progress, then that's it. But you'd rather obviously not lose any progress just for the sake of there not being a save point.
So is Kingdom Come Deliverance?
It's a good game.
A game
the
you're likely to finish?
Yeah, I don't know about finish. I think it is a very long game. I am probably going to have to cheat at it.
What respect?
I don't think I'm going to be good enough at the combat to finish this game. Because there is no difficulty setting.
Right.
You just... You know, you go into the game and that's the game. There is no easy option or hard option. There's probably easier routes through the game and harder options you can do if you want to. But I've heard that it does get quite hard at times, so I'm probably going to have to cheat. Because I am not that good at these games. It's going to be a problem later on, I think, when we get into hard combat. So I'm going to have to cheat my way through it. Just so I can see the story. Because some of the story does seem quite interesting. And obviously all the historical stuff I'm quite interested in looking through. Because there's a codex as well in it that takes you through all the actual historical facts about the region and about the time. So you unlocked the codex entries that you can go and have a look at and see what's going off. So yeah, that I'm quite interested.
It's one of those games that I actually had it bookmarked when it well, not which could you like I had it in a OneNote when it sort of first came on the scene because it was trying to do something different, but all the sort of the controversy and stuff really did put me off a bit.
Yeah. The thing is, the way I see it is, yeah, the one guy was a bit of an arse, and he backed Gamergate and all that lot, and yeah. I want to not bite because of him, but then... He's not the only person that worked on this game. He's not the only person that's going to be hurt by lack of sales.
Yes.
So I don't know. I ended up giving up and buying it because I wanted to play it. Hopefully, the bad press and the it's got around it, maybe it'll have an impact, but who knows. Maybe they'll get a bigger publisher next time round and have to clean up their act. Because obviously the publisher can dictate a bunch of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a big say in what goes off.
And how? Publisher can, I would imagine, really dictate what goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a fair say. Especially depends obviously how much money they're putting forward, how much they're putting towards it.
Right.
So are they just publishing it, or are they helping get it out there? How much, you know, are they pressing the discs? Are they just helping with the find the right distributor, or, you know, what are they doing? Are they doing, you know, PR? Because I'm not sure how much PR this has had.
It was definitely it. So I first heard about it in PC Gamer, which I feel like is a fairly big publication.
Yeah.
And that would have been about 6 months ago.
Yeah. Okay. I've until some people started streaming it, I didn't know anything about this.
What, at all?
No.
I find that really surprising, because I feel like you're the target audience for this thing.
Yes, I am. That's what surprised me. So,
that is
yeah.
surprising. Oh, well, you found it now.
Yeah. So I found it through...
Is it going to keep you to any sort of significant degree?
It depends what else comes out. Yeah, but I don't know that any of the stuff that's coming out is going to pull me away at the moment.
Okay.
Because I haven't jumped back into Elite yet. Even though the new updates...
I haven't tried Beyond.
Yeah, Beyond's out now, so I've wanted to have a go. Because I want to go and look at some planets and go and look at the Thargoids and the Guardians and all this lot. There's a lot more stuff, and there's a bunch more story in the game, and there's tech stuff you can unlock, so you can grind your way and unlock special tech items.
Mm-hmm.
So like a full MMO, you know, you can grind up your rep with certain people and get certain tech.
Oh, really?
That other people can't. So
that's
pretty
cool.
There's tech brokers out there, and you can basically... It's not really rep. You can buy the ability to buy items.
Right.
So basically, if you take them certain amounts of resources and stuff, they will then unlock the ability for you to buy that piece of tech. So it's a new gun or something. I think it's all balanced. So, you know, you'll get extra heat, but it'll do more damage or something like that. So, and engineers have changed a bit as well. So, yeah, we'll have to see.
I don't know if we're going to play it, because
there's
fair bit of other stuff that I'm playing through. So what else have you done apart from your game that you weren't going to buy?
I've also... where was it? Let me just have a look. Where's more recent? I've played Republic. I started playing
What's that then?
That's the... It's available on tablets, I think, as well. There's a woman in some sort of prison, and you use the cameras and direct
her
out.
That was meant to be, like, really quite revolutionary in terms of how it's controlled.
It's quite an interesting... Yeah, I've only played about half hour. Yeah.
Right.
So I've not played much of it. So I'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's quite interesting. And yeah, you've basically got to use the cameras and electronic devices. You can unlock doors. You're a hacker, effectively. And you can go through and hack doors and hack things. And you basically direct her to move places. I don't know how you're directing, because I don't seem to be able to talk to her. But you're telling her to move forward. So I don't know how you're doing that, but, you know, it's game. By the power of game, you are directing her to move forward.
By the power of game, I compel you.
Yes, so, I don't know. Yeah, so.
Five parts, I think it is. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, and they're all out now. So we'll see. We'll see how far I get on that as well. Just another thing that will run on a smaller machine. So hopefully I'll get that installed on Windows tablet and play it on that at lunchtime, so I can do some lunchtime jaunts on that. I think that's cloud saves as well, so that's good. So that should be fun to play.
What, you can completely cloud, so you can cross-device save, or...
No, I think it's Steam.
Within a device...
I think it's Steam, effectively. But I've got a Windows tablet and a Windows machine, so...
Because, what was the game? Broken Age, I think, was completely cross-platform in its saving.
Okay.
I certainly played, as long as you saved onto Dropbox...
Oh, okay, that's how they did it, is it? Okay.
Yeah, you could, sorry, random inward hiccup thing. You could play on anything, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because that's the problem with cross-save is where do you save that cross-save?
Right.
And does the platform allow you to access that? So, if you're saying PlayStation, does PlayStation allow you to access Dropbox? I assume they do then, if that works.
I guess so. I never tried it on the PlayStation. I did PC, tablet, and phone, I think it would have been at the time.
Okay, well, in that case, you know, you've got a whole bunch of open devices there.
Right.
Well, maybe iOS, not so open, but it's reasonably open. Whereas PlayStation and Microsoft, they're a bit more touchy about what code you run on their devices, what sites you access. So you might need to do something else with their platforms. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, more and more cross-play, cross-buy stuff will come in.
Yeah, I just feel like, especially with something like saves, it's not hard to get it to work across.
It's just the platform holders allowing you to, and you having the capability.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you've got your own servers, then that's a lot easier. Because you can save the saves to your servers in theory. And then everything can access it. So effectively, say Ubisoft, you can have a Uplay, get everyone to log into the Uplay account and save it to the Uplay system. So no matter what platform you're on, if it all links up to Uplay, then that's it.
Nothing links to Uplay.
A lot of, what was it? I'm going to say Mass Effect. It's Mass Effect.
Yeah, it was Origin.
Well, that was Origin.
Would have been, because it was EA.
That's EA. I can't remember what... I know a bunch of stuff were trying to do Uplay, because I installed Uplay on a phone or a tablet, I believe.
Presumably it would have been an EA game.
Oh, what? No, that'd be Ubisoft if it's Uplay.
Sorry, I meant Ubisoft.
Yeah. I assume so, but I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't played that many Ubisoft games. I don't know. What's big Ubisoft games? I'm failing to.
Watch Dogs?
Could be Watch Dogs.
Splinter Cell? Assassin's Creed?
Because Watch Dogs, they did the...
Division?
You see, not most of those I haven't played. Watch Dogs I've played. So maybe it was something to do with the cross-play from tablet to PC on the multiplayer. Because that was the thing in Watch Dogs, wasn't it?
Was it?
In multiplayer, you could get the tablet app, and you could influence people's multiplayer game through the tablet.
Okay.
That was a thing you could do.
That was it. What did you do? I mean, it make.
You could call
it.
It
does
could,
sound something like somewhat familiar.
Yeah, you could direct in police and choppers and things. That was something you could do. I seem to remember from the tablet. So you could direct police to try and corner them. So you were directing the police to corner them while they were fighting or something. I can't remember. There was definitely a police element to the tablet. You were effectively the police or the anti-hacker, some sort of anti-hacker brigade.
Okay, and you could sort of screw up people's games.
Yeah, you can screw up their multiplayer piece. The single player you couldn't affect, but if there was a multiplayer battle going off, you could affect that, I believe.
Okay.
So, apparently it didn't work very well, is the thing.
Yeah, the concluding idea on this one.
Yes.
Wasn't very good.
Yes. The idea was there, but then it didn't really work that well in the end.
Didn't take off.
No.
Have you done anything else this week?
No, I think that's about it. I've bought Moss, but I had a little issue with sound. I've now fixed it, I believe. So hopefully after this podcast, I'll be able to get to play Moss.
Well, it doesn't transmit straight to your PSVR?
It may do if I chose to do it that way, but I don't. My PlayStation goes through optical to an optical switch box, which then goes to a DSS unit from, who are they? I can't remember who they are now. DSS unit from some supplier, and then which is effectively a 5.1 surround sound to stereo, and then the output of that in stereo simulated 5.1 goes to a mixer desk. The mixer desk then goes to the back of my PC, and then my PC then takes that input and then outputs it to my headphones.
Why do you have it so complicated?
Well, it's so that basically all my PC, my second PC, my PS4, all the different solutions all go into the main PC, so I can then output it. Because I used to have a USB headset plugged into the PC, so therefore that's why it all goes into the main PC. Because I had a USB headset. Now I've got a standard jack headset. Headphones, I could just plug the headphones into the mixer and not have it all running into the PC, so that would be slightly easier, and I could just mix the balance for my headphones through there. But yeah, I need to rejig everything to make it slightly more sensible now. Now I don't have to put up with a USB headset.
I quite like USB headsets.
They're fine, but it means that they're plugged into a PC or a device. Whereas a non-USB headset, you can plug into a mixing desk or a mixer.
Right.
So you can then get the output directly from the mixer, rather than having to feed that mixer into a machine that then outputs USB.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So what have you picked up? Anything new?
I'm just trying to think. Moss. One thing I wanted to ask you about Moss. You haven't touched it at all, have you? So there's no point.
No, I've opened it. I've looked at the intro, but I didn't get any sound. So I didn't. It's quite interesting. You play with a controller. Well, I was playing with a controller and the VR headset.
Okay.
So motion tracks the controller, so you can then interact.
I don't like that about the PlayStation. Like, I know it's useful.
Yeah.
I don't like, because it doesn't track nicely, because if you move slightly too much of an angle, obviously because the light's flat, it loses it quite easily.
Yeah. But the idea is you're not moving around much. You're basically sitting down and playing a game.
Right. That's PSVR in a nutshell, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. PSVR is mostly a seated experience.
I think I've got my PSVR set up pretty much down to a T now.
Yeah, I've just reset it up yesterday, ready for Moss today.
Okay, I've given up playing in the study now with the PSVR.
Yeah.
Because the camera's just you just can't expand the field of view.
Yeah, you need to be a certain distance from the camera for it to work.
So what I've done is I have basically got a mobile phone tripod adapter.
Okay, yeah.
Clip that to the base of the camera.
Right.
And then I can mount the camera on a tripod.
All right, yeah.
So I've moved that out of the room. And I can play just on the chair in the other room.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
I'll do it that way.
Yeah, I want to move this whole setup somewhere else. Because I just haven't got the roof space. I've got the floor space, I just haven't got the roof space. Because of the slanting roof, a standing experience or a room scale doesn't work. You can't guarantee the height.
Okay.
Because it's all assuming a square room.
Yeah.
Or rectangular.
It's
room.
Not even. Do you know what? So I was playing Tumble on the PSVR.
All right. Yeah. That's
which I still love. It's just
a nice
really,
game.
Yeah, really good game. And a really good VR game as well. Like, works really well. But the tracking on the headset was just driving me. But not on the headset, on the controllers.
On the controllers, yeah.
It's just driving me mad. And the other thing that drives me mad with it is the fact that Sony still use they use proprietary charging. So the Move controllers will only charge up in a Sony thing.
No, they're micro USB, aren't they?
Yeah,
mini USB.
They won't accept charge from anything that doesn't give it a digital handshake.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise.
Yeah. So it's basically only official Sony charging stuff that seems to.
Okay.
I could be wrong. It might be a case if you need to buy something that gives a handshake to it.
Yeah.
But it's a USB socket. Why even put that requirement in there?
Yeah, maybe that's the problem I had at Christmas then, because I was trying to charge it from other devices.
No, it won't do it.
Hmm.
It only charges if it's getting a digital handshake of some sort.
Okay. Because the problem you've got with the PS4 is that it's got very few USB ports. It's got a couple of USB ports on the front, and that's it. So if you want to charge two Move controllers, either you buy the charging dock that I've got, or you're using up both of your USB ports.
The whole two USB ports thing is just stupid.
It is. It is ridiculous.
Just stupid. Like, just so aggravating, because I've got a password. I've got a hard drive plugged into one USB port.
Yeah.
So I've got one USB port spare, of which the PSVR needs to be plugged in.
Yep.
And then you've got to charge the Move controller somehow.
Yep. I've got a little hub plugged into the front of mine. To give me some extra ports. But yeah, that's the same problem I've got. I've got, if you want to plug your controller in, you want to plug the Move controllers in, anything. You're just so limited. If you want to plug a headset into it, a USB headset, you're stuck.
Yep. It is one of the strangest decisions that they've taken. I'm sure Si will defend it somehow, but
yeah, no, because I've got a USB controller as well for it. I've got a wired controller.
Oh yeah, you bought the kids ones, right?
Yeah. I bought a kids one at Christmas, just so that we had enough controllers for everyone to play.
Do you still use them?
No, because it's just me playing at the moment. I'm tempted to plug it in though, but the problem is it won't work for VR because it doesn't do motion tracking.
Right.
It's great. It was great, and the kids loved it for Minecraft because right. it's a smaller controller, and they just loved the little controller. And they were arguing over it who got to play on the wide controller because they preferred that one to the heavier.
I mean, it makes sense. It does make sense. I've seen those controllers. They just look a bit uncomfortable for an adult.
They're playable. You know, it's the spare controller if an extra person comes around and you're out of controllers. Oh well, you'll have to have this controller then. But yeah, I don't know whether they're 20 quid or something. They're fairly cheap because they haven't got all the batteries and wireless stuff, and they haven't got the trackpad, the touchpad, and they haven't got the motion controls. And they haven't so they're really cut down. So they can knock them out cheap. And it's fine if you just want an extra controller for, other people to play. If all you're doing is playing Minecraft or, some silly party game, they're fine. So, if you've got two decent proper controllers, and then you can just have a couple of extra wired controllers. But then you've got the problem of the USB ports. If you want more than, one extra controller, you're a bit scuppered if you've got a hard disk plugged in. Because you're running out of USB ports again.
Stupid.
I think I had on my old bubble Mac, my G3 Mac or whatever it was back in the day. Those old coloured Macs that they used to make. I think that had more USB ports than the PS4 does. That's when USB 1 was a nice new thing.
I think the Xbox 360 had more ports. I'm pretty sure I had two at the back and two at the front.
I don't know. Let me just pull this bit of ancient tech here. Oh, look. It's a PS2 with two USB ports.
Yeah, it is just...
I've got a PS2 Slim here. It is a Slim, I have to say. It is one of the newer ones. But it's got two USB ports on the front. And two controller ports as well, because obviously they didn't use USB back then.
It's banal, isn't it?
But yeah, that had two USB ports. I don't even know what he used USB for. Because it had a peripheral port.
The camera, the PlayStation Eye camera.
What, for the PS2?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't realise PS2 had one. I know PS3
Sure it did. I'm sure it did.
Because it had an Ethernet port on the back, so it wasn't Ethernet.
I'm sure the PS2 had a camera.
Okay, because it's even got... It's got optical out and AV out.
iToy, there you go. It was called the iToy.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, it's got two USB ports on the front and infrared and two controller ports. So it's... The PS3's got two USB ports on the front.
Yeah, it's a fuss. But the Xbox One's just as guilty. The Xbox One's got, or two on the side and maybe one or two on the back.
Okay.
I think it's also got about three. It's not exactly covered in USB ports.
Yeah.
Given how cheap it is to add a USB port onto something.
Well, to some extent, yes. If you're going to do USB hubs, yes. If you're going to actually have dedicated
USB ports. But the PlayStation
ports,
doesn't even support USB hubs. As in, it does for the USB 2 accessories, but not for the...
Yeah.
Not for the hard drive and not for the PSVR or anything like that.
I've got my PSVR plugged into a hub.
But not your hard drive?
Not my hard drive, no.
So the PSVR could be in a hub?
That's what I've got.
And it works?
It seems to. It was working earlier. But I have had tracking issues, so... Take that with a pinch of salt, I have been complaining about tracking issues on my PSVR, so maybe that's the reason.
Nah, probably not. It's probably just because it's a PSVR.
Possibly, yeah.
I've been playing other games, Aaron.
Okay.
So I played a bit of my PSVR, as I said. I played Tumblevr. That was
Yeah, it's a good game.
Then I have been playing. Well, I had a play short playtorial.
Okay.
With Kevin from the Discord.
Okay, yeah.
And he taught me how to play, or he taught me the basics of Monster Hunter.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think so you said it last week. It was.
He was going to. Yeah. I've had it.
Yeah. Okay.
It was pretty good. We spent 2 hours going through stuff.
Right.
I now understand that there is leveling up your strikes as you play. So when you hit something, a meter builds up at the top. I knew that. I knew there was a meter that built up. Right? I got that. But I didn't know that when you reach the top and then keep going, it then builds up to like the next level. You sort of get a glow.
Yeah.
So you've got to use it when it's built, and then you can go up to the next level. But then if you don't use it, the level goes down.
Oh, okay.
So you've got to vary your attacks. The other thing that I learnt that was really interesting was that combos didn't require timing, so that made a big difference to how I play the game, obviously, because then I could just, not mash, but press less precisely.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how to predict when monsters move, but apparently that's just something you get from experience. You get a feel for the various beasts. And that probably was about my tutorial. Oh, and he taught me about how to decide if gear needs leveling up or not, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I was treating it like any other RPG, where the moment I could upgrade something, I upgraded it or got something new. But that you don't need to do that in Monster Hunter.
Right.
So your priority should be your armor. Then you should get used to a weapon, and when you're happy with that type of weapon, you've got to decide what type of that weapon you want. Then you start upgrading it.
Right.
So you basically don't upgrade your weapon until you absolutely have to. Seems to be the moral. But there's a lot of depth to that game, blimey. It is like a very, very vicious onion that I am starting to peel and cry with. But I am enjoying it still. It is.
Okay.
I love the setting. The combat itself is actually really good fun. I just need to learn the rules of the world. And I can see having a human doing that with you is much more enjoyable than doing it by trial and error.
Isn't there a thing around the scaling? That if you've got two of you playing, it scales up to 4?
Oh, I don't know. I've only ever played with one. So I streamed. In fact, you could probably see my lesson, because it was on my Twitch channel.
Okay.
Shall I see if it archived it?
I did drop in at one point.
Were you one of the viewers? I saw someone else drop in.
I was one of the viewers. I did drop in, but you weren't saying anything. So...
No. Oh, there you go. It is. No, I was on the Discord with Kev.
So it wouldn't have recorded.
You can see me flail about. No, it wouldn't have recorded the audio.
Okay.
But you can, if you want to see me flail about on Monster Hunter and nearly die several times towards the end of that clip, then go watch me kill a great Jagras while being tutorialed by Kev. The next one, I'll try and record something with Kev so you can actually hear us do a tutorial.
Get party chat up.
Well, the problem is that he's on a PS4.
Okay.
But yeah, so I can't party with him. We cannot party together.
Ah, that's a shame.
I did try to stream this original Mixer, but it didn't work very well.
Right, okay,
but of course, from the Xbox, Mixer's like baked in.
Yeah.
But it kept saying that I was offline, which is irritating. However, there is this whole new co-stream thing, so I do want Mixer to work, and I need to look into it more, because it'd be fun if me and James could do something together. Or even you, if you've got an Xbox.
I haven't got it. Well, I've got a 360, but I haven't got an
same.
Xbox.
Yeah. No. It's an old thing, a 360. Although, we had people around on Friday night, and their kid was playing my Xbox downstairs, loving Mass Effect.
Yeah. Well, it's a great game.
Yeah, I know.
But he'd never heard of it before. He's, I think, 11 or 12.
Okay.
So he was playing the intro of it, which was good. I've been playing quite a lot of Humble Bundle stuff.
Okay.
But I've decided to play the smaller games.
Right.
So I've been playing a game called Passepartout.
Okay.
I think it's called Passepartout. Anyway, it looks like Passepartout. I'm sure it's French, Passepartout or something. It's the Starving Artist is the subtitle.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a pressurized version of Paint.
Oh, hang on. Have I played this one? No, I think I played something different.
It is in the Steam library, but I did add it today because it was in one of the Humble
Bundles. I've got a game that's Painters something or other. And you create paintings and stuff, no?
Yeah, so that's what this is. It's basically like a really simple version of Paint when you're painting. You only get one tool, so you can only use the solid brush to start with, and then as you get better, you can use different brushes like spray painting. And people come up and offer you art or critique on your art, and offer you cash for your art if you are doing quite well with your paintings. It's bizarrely compelling. I don't know how much I've played. How do I have a look how much I've played on it? I'm supposed to go to my library, right? Where is it? Pass. I've played nearly an hour of Paint, essentially.
Okay, I've played this game, and I can't for life read.
It doesn't say you've played this game.
No. I'm fairly sure it was called Painters something or other.
No, this is called Passepartout, the Starving Artist.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to a game I've played.
And it's bizarrely fun. It shouldn't have been fun. So I was expecting. So I went through the Humble Bundle and I installed a bunch of random games.
Okay.
That I never really thought I'd get to play. So I enjoy sort of. I installed big ones like Owlboy, which everyone loves, and Tacoma, which is another big one. But then, so I decided, I forced myself to play some smaller titles. So I played Passepartout, that was good. The other thing I thought I would like, and I tried to play first, is the Norwood Suite.
Okay.
Everyone should try and play the Norwood Suite. It is an experience.
Okay.
Clearly, whoever made it was very, 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 very high when they made it.
Okay, yeah.
It is like playing an interactive version of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. It is really weird. So you're basically dropped off by a mysterious woman who says that there's a voucher for you to stay in a hotel. And off you go. Go and stay in the hotel and enjoy your night. So you go off to the hotel. There's some stuff happens along the way. And then someone asks you to get some... For some reason, there's a gameplay mechanic whereby you have the look and people think that you're a member of the hotel staff.
Right, okay.
Which is just basically like side quests. But none of it's massively engaging. I did decide that I had to restart the router, so I restarted the router.
Yeah.
It was really odd. I've played probably about half an hour of it, and I had to turn it off because it was just odd. Really odd. It's all very psychedelic. I mean, I don't know if it's been made by a big team or a small team. I assume a small team because it looks like it's New York University, like the game design course seems to be involved in it somehow. But yeah, it's just... Oh my god, it's fucking weird. It's so odd. I really, really... I just can't get over how weird it is. Like... Yeah. it's kind of like, what's that game where you're exploring the house? Gone Home.
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of like Gone Home on acid, mixed with any point-and-click adventure that you care to think of. And I really encourage people to try it, because a lot of effort has gone into the architecture. So, although it's all very rudimentary, and textures are obviously very rudimentary, somebody has had to think about how this building flows. And my God, it's just... the whole thing is weird. Play it. It's weird.
Right.
Just give it a go. Apparently it's only it's only about an hour and a half to 2 hours long.
Right, okay.
So I think I'll give it a go. I think I'll play it all the way through, but I'm not playing it because I enjoy it at this stage. I'm playing it because I want to see what on earth it's about. Which is...
right.
Not immediately apparent, I should say. So, yeah, it's really weird. So the next thing that I'm going to be playing is a game called Whoopo. That seems to be some sort of platforming game, so I figure I'll like that one. You seem to play as some sort of fluffy cloud, which I like the look of. Right. And there's another point and click called Stories Untold.
Right, okay.
Which is point and click adventure, I'll let you know. It looks intriguing. That it's four miniature adventure games, but set in more of like a Stranger Things style horror, not quite horror thing. It looks like it's got slightly higher production values, and it's published by Devolver Digital. So it's got...
right, okay.
It's got meat behind it. Devolver Digital did stuff like Enter the Gungeon. And Serious Sam. So it's got a Hatterpool boyfriend as well. So yeah. It's got sort of pedigree, that's the word I'm looking for, behind it. But then I've also got Snake Pass now. Although I know you had it in the library before,
yes,
but now it's
not. Yeah. Okay, you got it as well.
Yeah. Although it's out on the Switch as well, and I like things on the Switch.
Yeah.
Talking of things on the Switch, my daughter is getting really good at Mario Kart. Admittedly, with all the assists on, I'm playing in 50cc, but she's now finishing top three every time she races.
Okay.
So when it starts to get to the point that she's on 100cc, top three on every single race, then I'm going to start turning off assists.
Right, okay.
But she's really enjoying it. Like, every morning she bowls upstairs to our bedroom and wakes us up. Daddy, can we play the racing game? Yeah, play the game. Okay, let me just wake up. No, I need to play it now. Okay, all right, put on the Switch. She's really, really enjoying it. And a bizarre thing happened this week, Aaron.
Okay.
The Switch's anniversary. It's been a year since the console came out.
Blimey.
I know. And do you know what's even weirder? Game actually had a relatively good offer to commemorate this, and if you remember, I bought my Switch from Game.
Right, okay.
And if you remember, I did the whole stupid buying Game Elite thing, so that I got an extra £50 trading credit, which, after paying off Game Elite, worked out to be an extra £12.50. But it also doubled my reward points, so I had 23 reward points, £23 worth of reward points. Game gave me, because I was an Elite member for my birthday, an extra £5 worth of reward points. I had £28 something of reward points. And they were doing a sale where if you bought a game plus eShop credit, they'd knock a tenner off the total price of the order. So I bought a game plus £15 of eShop credit, so £5 for that, with my £28, which means that I got Legend of Zelda and £15 worth of eShop credit for £24 something.
Okay.
So I'm going to be playing The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild this week on the Switch.
I ought to really get back into it.
Look, it's been rated as one of the finest, if not the finest, game of all time. It can't be bad, right?
Yeah, okay.
I know, and there is something about it that doesn't appeal to me either. But it can't be bad. Everybody is saying it's good.
I don't know that it can be bad, but it can be the sort of game you don't want to play. I'm worried about Moss. because it's a platformer.
I'm upset that we didn't get that on review, because I would have been all over Moss, but yeah. I'm not paying £25 for it.
Yeah, so...
I just refuse, because I don't play on my PSVR enough to justify that. It's not like the Oculus, which I can play at the desk. The PSVR is a faff to set up for me, because I have to go into a different room.
Yeah, I've got it all set up right here now, so it's nice, easy.
I tell you what I want to play is Bravo Team, but I'm very nervous about Bravo Team.
Yeah.
Because I read some previews that weren't so complimentary. Apparently it's like Time Crisis in VR and not free movement.
Okay.
It's a corner cover shooter and you can move from corner to corner and you pop out of cover and shoot like in Time Crisis. So it's Time Crisis VR. Which could be good.
Yeah.
Don't know if it will be. But it could be. So, yeah, I don't know about that one. I'm trying to think. There was a game that I wanted to talk about last week, and I've especially kept my issue of Edge here in front of me all week, because it is a game, and although I've forgotten its name now, I'm sure it's called The Occupation. It's a game that I've had on my Steam wishlist since it was available on my Steam wishlist, and then they ran an article on it in Edge this week, and I thought I should probably bring it up rather than just look forward to it quietly by myself. It is called The Occupation.
Okay.
And it's coming out on PC, PS4 and Xbox One. Developed by UK studio White Paper Games.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's set up north.
Right. Yeah, The Occupation. So, we interviewed them at EGX last year.
So I wasn't there, was I?
Yeah, so the video's up.
I'll have to go and rewatch.
Oh, no, the video's not up. I've got the video ready to go up.
Okay.
I must finish editing that. But the audio's up. So you can listen to the interview at least.
Are we getting this? Is this a thing?
No, we've not got any review codes on the way, I don't think, for that one.
So I really, really am looking forward to this. I love the setting.
Yeah, it did look quite good, that one.
And it's obviously, you know, point and clicky, and I like point and clicky. Yeah. Explorey. Did they develop Ether 1, or whatever it was called? I think it was called Ether 1, wasn't it? Was that a VR game? Was that just a...
No, I think you're thinking of Ether.
Ether 1 was definitely on the Xbox. It wasn't VR, was it? It was on Xbox. It was an exploring game again.
No, there was an Ether game, I think it was called. I can't remember. That was VR, but not that game.
So that one I played on the Xbox. And that's it. It's Ether 1 is a game where you explore the thoughts of a dementia sufferer.
Okay.
And it was. It's by the same people.
Right, okay.
Who are making The Occupation. But I'm really excited for The Occupation. It's really captured my imagination. So it's set in 1987. Or it's set in the 80s, isn't it? I made up that year. I'm sure it's set in the 80s. It's set in the past. And you're in a government thing up north, but you're bound by the Secrets Act. So there's loads of stuff that's redacted, and you've got to sort of figure out what's going on. Have I done that justice? I think I have.
Yeah.
It looks fabulous. We need review code, otherwise I'm going to have to... Well, I'll be buying it anyway. But they need to do a Switch copy of this.
Okay.
That needs to come out on the Switch. Speak to your people, Aaron. Tell them it needs to come out on the Switch. Because it looks fabulous, but
Well, I can't remember whether we asked them in the interview whether they were going to do a Switch version.
It's only a small studio.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to have the budget to then retool to do a Switch version. Maybe if they outsourced it, if they do really well or something. But it looked fabulous. I did also have in front of me PC Gamer. I've decided there's a new section of the show where Dave flicks through his gaming magazines for the month. but it's got an interview, it's got a review of... Deliverance. What's your game called?
Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yeah, I think it's got a review of that. It's got people in knights in shining armor on the front. Yeah, there you go. Kingdom Come Deliverance. It doesn't talk much about the controversy, and it rates at 84.
Yeah, the thing is, the game, it's an early game in a studio's life.
Right.
The amount of jank in the game is ridiculous.
Right.
So going upstairs is quite troublesome at times, because some of the stairs don't work right. And also trying to get past some people, because they just stand in the way. And you try and get past them, and they have a whinge at you and get all upset with you, but you still can't get past them. So it's a bit weird.
The other thing that I noticed in the magazines is that the follow-up to I Am Setsuna, which is Lost Sphere,
okay,
did not do very well. It got very middling reviews, which is a shame, because I Am Setsuna looked great, and I still want to play that. But it's never been in any sort of sale where it's gone to a price that I wanted to pay for it.
Okay.
And I think that's all the games that I've played this week. I haven't touched my 3DS. I don't think I've played any phone games. Look if there's anything that I've installed. Nope, no phone games.
Yeah, I went back to Crazy Taxi and realised it had reset my progress, so that was that.
Well, that's demoralising.
Yeah.
Oh, I have, Aaron, I have.
Okay.
We talked about Serial Cleaner last week, didn't we?
Yes.
Or was that just me and you talking while we play games?
I think it was last week.
I think it was after the show.
Was it after the show?
Just in case it was after the show, I've been playing Serial Cleaner, which is a game set in the sort of 70s where you play a cleaner. You know, the sort of person that goes in after the mob have killed someone and cleans up and makes everything. A fixer, that's what it's called.
Fixer is slightly different, but yeah, a cleaner, yeah.
So you play as a cleaner.
Yeah.
And you get given tasks, you've got to stealth your way in past the police to get the bodies and get the loot and get out. And it's good, it's a really rudimentary stealth game. You seem to have a hoover that hoovers up blood. And the police chase you. It is out on the Switch as well. I've been playing it on the PC. It may get repurchased on the Switch, but I think I'm just going to stick with it on the PC because it's fun enough. It's got slight inertia to it that I haven't got used to. So when you're walking, you'll carry on walking like half a step when you let go.
Okay,
a bit like how GTA 4 used to do it. So you sort of stagger forward a little bit. But it is good fun. Like it's simple stealth. It's not, you know, complex stealth. It's the police have a cone in front of their face. If you're in their cone, they will see you. If you're not in their cone, they won't see you or hear you.
Yeah.
Hear you is to do with a when you walk or when you do something, a diamond appears around you that indicates your noise levels.
Right, okay, yeah.
And if the diamond touches a policeman, they hear you and they come and investigate.
All right, okay, that's quite interesting.
The other thing that they do is they notice if you've moved stuff. So if there is a policeman who can see a body as they're walking around, you're best off leaving that body till last, because otherwise that policeman will notice the body's gone and he'll change his route to try and find where the body's gone.
Right.
But it is, it's good, as they say in Ireland, good crack.
Okay, yeah.
And it's relatively new on the Switch. It got released in November. I think it's been on the PC probably for about 4 or 5 months. Very stylized, looks sort of hand-drawn style rather than pixel art. It is 2D. Very funky, very good. Love it. Good little game.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want an irreverent stealth 'em up, then do it. If you don't mind cartoon blood, obviously, because there's lots of blood. And I think that's about me done for games. I don't think there's gonna be anything else I'm gonna put out of the woodwork. Switch. I don't think I've got played anything apart from Mario Kart. I haven't tried the balloon mode yet in Mario Odyssey. I need to try that. I played a bit of Splatoon and a bit of Lego City, but I'm not going to talk about them. I don't think there's been any news this week that's made me go, oh my gosh, I need to talk about it on the show. No.
No? Okay. Yeah, no, I've not played much more. I must get more games done. But I'm going to play Kingdom Come Deliverance a lot. I've got to try and catch up with the YouTube streamers I'm following. Which is going to take some time, because they're playing quite a lot.
Yeah, they don't have jobs, do they?
well, they've... It's part of... That is their job, is to play right. It and release it. So they're releasing about an hour a day, some of them. So that's a lot of... That means I've got to do at least over an hour a day.
You do.
To catch up. So I've got to do a couple of hours a day. So I'm not sure I'm going to manage that. But I just can't... I can't stop watching.
One other thing, Aaron.
Yeah?
StarCraft 2.
What about StarCraft 2?
I tried playing StarCraft 2.
Oh, okay.
I've done all the tutorials.
Right, yes.
I've tasted each of the races. And I'm now deciding which campaign to do. It's quite fun. It's different to what I expected. It's not entirely like Command & Conquer, so you don't seem to have much armies building going on at the beginning, certainly in the tutorials. There is a little bit, but it plays a bit more like Dawn of War. Or Dawn of War plays a bit more like StarCraft 2, I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
But it reminds me of Dawn of War 2, so you seem to have, you know, it's more important to build the right army rather than necessarily the biggest army.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds a bit more tactical.
Yeah, it's interesting. The controls are still a bit weird to me, having been brought up on Command & Conquer, where left was drag to select and right was tell it to move or cancel. No, tell it to move. An attack, to having to hold down A to tell it to attack move and things like that. It's taking a bit of getting used to, but it's something I'm going to carry on with. I think pretty casually. I might play sort of a level a week. But someone rated it on one of the gaming forums that I read on Reddit. One of the sort of the most surprisingly good storylines when you play all three.
Okay.
So I need to give that a go. I have played other stuff, Aaron. I've played GoldenEye Source.
Blimey, here we go.
I know, I keep forgetting. I've dabbled a lot this week. I played GoldenEye Source, which is not GoldenEye with ketchup. It is GoldenEye in the Source engine on Steam. Yep. You can't find it on Steam, but you can find it on the GoldenEye Source website. Right. And it's a faithful recreation of GoldenEye in the Source engine.
Right, okay.
And it's amazing. Yeah, it plays exactly like you had wanted to play for a remaster or remake of GoldenEye on the PC.
Yeah.
So we can all play Slappers in the Temple later.
Right, okay.
Basically. That's all you need to know.
Good.
See you there. Love. I don't have anything else sensible. I wasn't even sensible. I don't have anything to contribute to the show at all.
No, possibly not. No.
Nope, nothing. Nothing whatsoever. It's 15 days to go till Sea of Thieves is released.
Yeah, I'm still... I don't know. I don't think so, is the answer to that one.
You're going to lose me for a good month when that's out.
Okay, well, I'll probably still be playing Kingdom Come Deliverance, so... I don't know how long that game is, but I suspect it's many, many hours. If it's below 40, I'd be surprised.
What, Kingdom Come Deliverance?
Yeah.
Or
Kingdom Come Deliverance. Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves, I think, can be anything from 10 hours. I reckon Sea of Thieves, I reckon it, after the first 6 hours, we'll see. It can either drop off drastically or it'll keep people going. It could go either way. It depends how much they've put into it.
You're spreading your bets here, Aaron.
Yeah, because the thing is, what I've seen so far will keep you going for the first 5 or 6 hours. A little bit of fun, a bit of treasure hunting, a bit of, you know, banter between people. But it's the progression and that you need after the first 5 or 6 hours of just messing about. Have you seen Rec Room have now put a pirate mod, a pirate quest in?
Yes, I have.
So,
I just booted up the Oculus menu. There's a good sale going on. You can get Elite Dangerous for £18.
Okay. Is that that'll be the full whack, won't it?
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see it because obviously I've got it on there as well, so doesn't give me the offer.
And there's the cooking game VR, which looks dreadful. Aaron, where can we follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
I'm over at Flyshoe. The show is over at the Loopcasters, and today we gave away a copy of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Yes, that was nice of somebody.
Yeah, I didn't. It was a bit cryptic.
Was it?
Yeah, it did say there was a letter and a number you had to add, but it didn't say what they were.
No. People are going to work it out.
Right. That's okay.
People have got to do the thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
We like people to do the thinking. That's my view on it. Right.
Okay.
Aaron.
Okay.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.